anybody?
Mike has mentioned that Mrs. Stead, they penned these words when she, sitting on the beach, had to witness her husband drown trying to rescue someone on the Atlantic coast. Just when we were having a nice vacation. I don't think she did it immediately, but later could pen these words. Trust me, Jesus.
When me and Owen first went down to Peru together, we went to a place where there had just been an earthquake, and we had a hard time finding a place to stay, but we found a place. Actually, we stayed in a number of places temporarily until we finally found somewhere that was a little more permanent, but there is so much damage, it wasn't easy to find anywhere to stay down there.
Brian, what, there's people that smell like you. Let's come up here, if you don't mind. Sorry.
I'll start over. Shortly after I met Olin, having come up here from Peru to meet everybody, there was an earthquake in an area where we had some people we were visiting with. And so me and Olin went back down to that place that you got hit by an earthquake, Pisco, Peru. And we had to work pretty hard at finding a place to stay because there was so much damage done in the area. But we finally found a place we could stay, and there was a number of people that were wanting to meet together for Bible study and teaching. And Olin went to Lima to get a bunch of chairs. There, we didn't have chairs for everybody to sit on. It was coming. So he went to Lima, which is like 4 hours away by bus, and bought these plastic chairs that you can stack on top of each other. You know what I'm talking about. And he brought back like a whole stack of them, a whole pile of chairs. And he came back. It was late after dark. He got back. I was back at the room where we were staying, and he shows up with no chairs after being gone all day. And I said, "What happened? Where's the chairs?" And he said, "Well, I got off the bus and somebody asked me for a chair, so I gave it to him." And then a whole crowd of people swarmed around him, thinking he was giving free chairs away, and he just complied with every one of them and gave every single one of the chairs away before he got to the house. And so we never ended up with any chairs from that experience. And then he had the same experience with bicycles. I know he went through more than one bike. He would just have a bike, and somebody would just walk off with it or steal it, and he'd look around and the bike wouldn't be there. So
I would have met Olin in 2006, about the same time I met Brian, and we were staying in the church basement. And it probably sounds like a bad joke, like a drug addict, an Amish man, and a street preacher living in a basement. You know, it was pretty radical there for a while. And you know, when I got clean, I really started reading the Bible. You know, I got a calendar, and it said you're going to read the Bible in a year. I read the Bible. I was going to evangelical churches. I was going to all different kinds of churches, and I was searching, and you know, you see the prosperity gospel, and they're wanting money, and everything's a joke, and you know, you're really searching. And I wanted to be a preacher, and I applied for the Church of Christ seminary school, and they told me that my history, they didn't think I was a good fit because of my history. And I was like, wow, you know, it's like I can't even, you know. And then, so I'm searching, I get back into the drugs, and then I meet David, and I'm done. Like, it was either I was going to continue using drugs, or I was going to die. That was my choices right there. And I talked to David, and I was like, nobody's going to help me, and I'll probably end up overdosing. He's like, you want me to come get you? And I was like, yeah, come get me. So David, come and get me. I get there, Owen's there, Brian shows up a month later, you know. And it's like, from seeing everything fake, and seeing Owen, you know, Olin was trying. Nobody here is perfect, you know. But, you know, the desire. Olin never said anything profound to me that just been like, you know, this, you know. But just watching his life was amazing, you know. And then I got to meet Olin. I met my wife, you know. Olin came down to Mexico with us so he could translate, you know, when he, man. Yesterday, I couldn't break down because Erica did, and I had to drive down here, and it was like I was trying to explain it to her when, you know, and it's like I had to drive down here, so there wasn't no time to cry, you know. But Olin called me when he was asking about Aurelia, and he's like, what do you think? And I was like, I couldn't think of a better man for, and, you know, you know, if Olin doesn't make it through, if Olin doesn't make it with God, then none of us have a chance, you know. So I've always really appreciated everything that he's ever done. I appreciate the church. I appreciate, you know, if it wasn't for this, you know, like everything was so fake. And, you know, I'm still here. I've made a lot of mistakes, but I'm still here. God bless you.
Some things that I really appreciated about Olin was he is one of the most generous people that I've ever seen. I mean, I just know that he paid for so many things. He did construction work for free for so many people. I think when he was single also, he just gave and was just a real example that way. And also noticed that Olin always appreciated things that were wholesome. He just was just real strong that way, just really loved things that were good and just hated evil. He was a just real solid. he was a real solid example for me and my family. And I remember when we were thinking about coming to this church, I remember thinking, well, they've got Olin. I was telling my wife, when I think about the word saint, I think about Olin.
Well, I've got countless stories about Olin, and I just thought of one. One of the most recent ones is I bought a car, and Olin saw it, and he said, could you just buy it out front, or did you have to borrow money? And I said, I had to borrow money from the loan, get a loan. And he said, well, you shouldn't have done that. You should have just asked me. I would have been happy to help you out there. And that's just how he's been his whole life. He would give everything that he had to help anybody in his life. And when I first met Olin, he just got back from Peru and he had nothing. He was completely dirt broke. But he's extremely steady, and he just built his way up from the bottom up, just without ever worrying or anything. And he became one of the richest people I know, but one of the poorest in spirit for sure. He could care less about wealth or anything. And we do, I don't know, like 5-6 jobs a week for Olin. And every single customer, just over and over, just how much they appreciate Olin. And I don't know. I wish that all of us could have half of the history of good that he's brought upon this world. And I don't know if I've been closer to anybody hardly in my life than with Olin. I could vent to him about anything and say some stupid things, and I knew he would never share it to anybody else. And you can't have a friend like that hardly ever. So I am happy for him too.
I'm Ron, and my wife and I lived in Omaha, and we thought, well, we'll move to Monette. And we thought, okay, well, how are we going to do this? So then Brian and Brianna showed up one day with a truck and with a trailer that Olin, I guess, recently purchased. So we loaded everything into that and came down. So I give thanks for Olin letting us use this trailer to bring us down here, or I don't think we'd be here. Thank you.
Sister Rita's family had contacted me and said that they wanted to thank everyone, and they know that our dear brother Olin is now with the Lord, and asked for some prayers for them. It's being hard for them that they're not able to come up and be support to Raylan.
Together and traveling the roads together, looking at jobs and working late with the crew and by our, just the two of us sometimes. Talked about a lot of things, and you know, to know him, to just know his physical makeup, he wasn't a strong person in body, and some would even say frail at times. But there's a there's nobody at gone to battle with the Lord by my side than him. Among the most faithful and sold to the kingdom of God men that I knew. And he really loved the brethren here. He gave up, as you know, what could have been an illustrious life in the Mennonite church. When he started looking to us, he was dubbed mentally incapable of being a school teacher for them. And then he shortly came to us. And he was excommunicated, I believe, is that right, from them, and gladly suffered that, but it was at a cost. I mean, he had quite a family, an extended family, and he knew what he was giving up, and he knew the prospects of having a, you know, a family, and things were pretty small among us, but he came anyway. And I was glad, and am glad, that he was able to experience marriage and family. But I thought, you know, he faithfully lived single and was glad to do that. And he faithfully lived married and was glad to do that. Good example to all of us, and especially to our young men. God bless you.
I met Olin at around the same time I met Brian Gray and Brian Minter. And one of the things I remember about him is we made a trip in Mexico to Oaxaca, which is the south coast, and we were several families there, the Barajas family, the Roars. I think Wilbers were there, I'm not sure about that, but and everybody was hungry, and we stopped by a taco store, and we were really hungry. We probably ate a lot and all, and just right away paid the whole thing for everybody, and that really caught my attention. And, well, all his life, he was always a blessing. And something that maybe you don't know is Brother Pedro, who is part of the church in Mexico, he wouldn't be part of the church if it was not for Olin. He was in the world living his life, and he was about to get a divorce from Marisol, and he had been to different churches too, trying to get some help, and just like Brian Minner said, everything was fake. And the brothers made a trip to his place, and he saw Olin. Olin didn't say anything. Olin didn't preach to him, but Pedro said to his wife, to Marisol, he said, he was in the world, and he said, if I ever become a Christian, I want to be a Christian like Olin. It was the most real thing he had seen. And, that's probably something you don't know, but I just want to tell it to you. And everybody from Mexico and South America that we have contact with send their greetings and their support for our church here and our church in Mexico. God bless you.
I just want to express to the church here just how thankful I am for the time that that we had with Olin. And he was one of those people that could affect you without even saying anything. You know, he just had that foundational goodness, and it was just easy to see. You know, and you could just. There was just no question about his goodness. No question about his desires to just be like the Lord wanted him to be. And anyway, he's made an impact on all of us, and it's a real blessing that we've had the opportunity to live with him. And I'm sure he would just want us all to just go on and learn to trust the Lord and just keep on going, you know. He would be there cheering us on and wishing the best for each one of us. A little note that, you know, he truly trusted the Lord. Some while back, his family got to talking about their possible hereditary heart problem, and I guess he was talking about it with his brothers, and later his wife, Aurelia, said, maybe you should go get checked out, you know, and see. And Olin just, he said, no. He said, if the Lord wants to take me, that's up to him when he wants to do that. And that's worth more than 1,000 preachers standing up and telling us to put our trust in Jesus. You know, he lived that. And he was willing to let God decide when his time would be. And he didn't feel like he had to go and try to control that. I just, you know, the morning right after we heard David's text that he had gone to be with the Lord, one of my first prayers was that I would learn to be more like he was. And I'm just real thankful for him. And remember his wife and children in your prayers. God bless you all. Thank you.
Yes, I too would like to express my thanks to the Lord for our time we had with Olin. Our family traveled quite a few times with Olin. We've gone to Mexico together and to Guatemala together a time or so. And just remember so well the sweet fellowship we had on the way, the subjects we would talk about, and just always end up with a desire to draw closer to the Lord and to do what He wants us to do, just from talking with Olin. And another thing that, one time we went to Florida together with him to see my parents-in-law, and his grandpa was living there in Sarasota, David Wagler, and I was just impressed with Olin's dedication to his grandpa, visiting him often in his grandpa's last months, years, just a desire to learn what he could from someone older and to be a blessing to his grandpa as well. Challenge to me. He actually, one time when we went to Florida together, my parents-in-law lent him a car to head over to Sarasota and see his grandpa. So my parents-in-law know him well and have an appreciation for him too, as well as my own parents know him. My mother and father would talk with him personally here if there was a wedding or they were visiting here. Yesterday my mother was just crying together with me on the phone. Praise the Lord.
I remember when I was like 10 years old, we were probably about as close as a 10-year-old and a 35-year-old could be. And about every time we'd have a work bee, I would go work with Olin if I could, because he just took the time to show me how to do things and just didn't assume that I would know how to do it. He just made sure and showed me how, and was just really, really kind and nice to talk to. And I remember one time he came and picked me up, came out of his way a little bit to drop my brothers off at a training place in Kansas City for the shop, and to pick me up from there and take me to Brian Minner's house to help them get it ready. And I just remember going along with him and talking to him. He asked my opinion on what truck he should buy, and we had some real nice conversations there on the way. He was just a really good person just really nice to talk to.
One thing I remember about Olin is I don't ever remember him getting upset about anything. I mean, of course he got a little upset about some things, but he never got mad about something not going right. He just, whenever there was something that went wrong, he just decided to, you know, if we were short a piece of metal or a piece of trim, we just went and got it and finished the job up. He didn't get all excited about it. I remember one time Well, it was me and him going to do a job one morning. I think we left at like 4 o'clock that morning, and I think I was about 14, and I fell asleep in the passenger seat, and we were going off into Kansas somewhere that Olin was driving, and I wake up to this crunch, just a boom. I was like, what happened? And we had put some 16-foot boards, one before is in the back of the truck, the old white extended cab Ford truck that we had, and they were sticking out probably 6 to 8 feet out the back. But anyway, he had pulled into a drive, and we'd gotten lost. We were at the wrong place, and he backed up and hit a tree with those boards sticking out of the back and put a big dent in the front of the bed. Anyway, he just looked at his rearview mirror and said, whoops, that was a bad deal, I guess. Anyway, it didn't ruin his day. He just went on about his day, and we just went and did the job. And anyway, he didn't get excited about it. Just one of those things that happens. It's just a real, real good example for me, just to not get excited when some little thing goes wrong. I'm really going to miss him.
I just wanted to share one story real fast that I think sums up Olin pretty well, in my opinion. Y'all know we moved here for help, and as a lot of you did too. But I can't remember. I mean, Olin, we were really close to Olin ever since we first met him. We were really close, and he's been a wonderful influence and example to me as well, but especially to my children. And one story I remember very specifically, I think it was with Corbin, but it might have been with Tyler, so you guys correct me. This is how I remember it. I think Corbin worked with Olin on a roof when he was pretty young, and it was one of those hot, miserable Southwest Missouri days in the summer. And I think Corbin said there was wasps everywhere, and it was just hot, and I was getting sunburnt, just going on, you know, all the dramatics that are appropriate for this time of year. And you know what Olin was doing? And I said, what? And he said, he was whistling. And I thought, that's good. I mean, that's a good, not that he never got frustrated or anything like that, but that just how he dealt with those things. I was very thankful for that kind of male presence in my sons' lives, especially when they were just moving here and the situations that we had come out of, and just to have those the strong influence of Olin, Brian, David, and most, you know, a lot of the other brothers here. Just saying, we spent a lot of time with Olin, Brian, and David, and very thankful that Olin took the time. And I don't think it was something that he, like, had to... I know, that's just how he was. Like someone else already said, he's just a good person, and you know it. Everybody knows it. So praise the Lord, and I'm just thankful that we can celebrate his life. What a blessing that we can celebrate his life and look back with fond memories and be thankful knowing that he's with the Lord.
Being here at the church, but I've never lived anywhere. me how to be a home interior decorator now. He says, I probably got everything done. And he just was so helpful to me. And we sang that some songs that day. He liked singing, I guess. Even with people that can't sing very well. But I'm just very thankful for all of them. That's it. I'm thankful that he's with the Lord now.
I've just been reflecting a lot the last, about 24 hours now on Olin's life and his kindness he extended to us. And there's a million little stories and a million little ways he touched our life. And we came without a father and without a home. And he helped to make a home for us and welcome us. And I've been reminiscing on just all the memories I have with Olin. There's one steady theme through all of them is kindness and gentleness. That's just kindness and gentleness personified in Olin. My dad was here for about a year, very unstable and alcoholic, and Olin just bore with it and just let him come to work to have something to do, and just was just so kind and gentle with my dad and gracious and anyone Olin has come across, he's just treated them unconditionally kind and gently, and it's a blessing to look back on that and to recall that legacy he's left behind too, and his beautiful family. And God bless you all.
Tell you what she says.
Bueno, primero que nada, quiero confesar que este camino para mí ha sido muy difícil.
I want to say that this way for me has been really difficult.
He recibido críticas incluso de mis padres y bueno, de muchas otras personas.
And I've gotten a lot of criticism, especially from my parents and from different other people.
Y al principio me resistía a poder cambiar mi forma de pensar, de vestir, usar el velo.
And I had a big struggle and opposition, like changing my lifestyle and way of thinking and way of dressing.
Y no es de sorprenderse que yo misma ponía una barrera con los hermanos para no querer ser parte de ellos.
And I myself would like put a wall in between the brethren and myself.
Cuando Arely se casó y hermanos pasaban a decir cosas de hermano Olin, solo me sorprendía que hubiera personas como diferentes. Conozco a mi esposo y sé que él es diferente, pero no creí que hubiera más.
And when Ola and Arely got married and there was like open mic and everyone was talking about Olin, I was like so really surprised, like he was such a good man and didn't think that there was there could possibly be someone like that, you know.
Y bueno, cuando estuvimos aquí la primera vez en diciembre y enero, todos fueron muy amables y todos han demostrado su amor de una y otra manera.
So when we were here the first time back in December, everybody was very loving and kind, showed your love one way or another.
Y ahora entiendo todo. Cuando hermano Olen habló con mi esposo y le dijo, yo quiero pagar sus boletos de avión, se me hizo muy raro y le dije, pero ¿por qué? ¿Qué busca este hombre? ¿O por qué él quiere ayudarnos? ¿O a cambio de qué?
And when we came the first time, he paid for our tickets. We didn't ask for it. He just called us and said, hey, I want to pay your tickets so that you can come. And she's saying, I just wonder, like, oh, I mean, why does that happen? How can he just call and say that and say I will pay for them, you know? Like what kind of man is this, you know?
Ahora sé que cualquiera de ustedes hubiera pagado esos boletos. Y ahora esta segunda vez que venimos y nuestro pequeño está aquí, significa tanto que Olen haya vuelto a pagar esos boletos para.
And I know that probably any of you would have done that, but it was Olin the one who did it. And the second time now with our baby, he did it again. And she's saying, for me, it means so much, the fact that we can be here, partly thanks to him, you know?
Solo veo la bondad en cada uno de ustedes y no puedo más que agradecerle a Dios por todo lo que ha hecho y por la vida del hermano Elena.
I just see kindness all around me, you know, in the church, and I can just thank the Lord for each one of you, and especially now, today, for all of them.
Thank you all for sharing, and we'll have a time during the funeral to do it again. And if you missed out today, you're welcome to do that then. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the brethren here, Lord, and for Olin and the life that he shared among us, Father. Pray for Aurelie, Lord, the children. Father, we just ask your blessing upon them. Help them find peace and comfort, Father, knowing that Olin is spend his time here and now go and be with you. Again, we thank you, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom, Father. As we proceed, Father, and help us, Lord, I pray to bring glory and honor to you, Father, in all that we do. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, just a little bit this morning. In James chapter 4. Verse 13. It says, come now, you who say tomorrow, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like.
tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. You know, yesterday morning we started out, as well as with Olin, all of us never dreamed that our lives would all change in a moment. We're just here for a while, like a vapor. We're here for a while and then we're gone. Last week I had down as just an idea, I had messages crossing a line of time, and nothing is going to be the same. That little phrase, just sums up my life. At several times in my life where we just go through something, or something comes at us, and nothing is ever the same. And that's especially true again today. That after Olin went to be the Lord with the Lord, our lives will never be the same. You know, it takes, the Bible tells us that the church is made up of a body that has many parts. And Olin was one of those parts. You know, it's just like losing a right arm or the ability to walk. That's what it feels like. But he's the Lord's. No matter how we would want to change, the Lord is the Lord of our lives and the body. I just, every week, usually at least once a week, Olin would call and be struggling with something. And one of the things I can tell about Olin, you know, one of the things that just as a pastor, that didn't matter what he was struggling about, he would just call me and talk to me about it. And you know, I've talked to people till I'm blue in the face at times, just wonder why, you know, they'll ask an opinion and just go off and do what they planned on doing in the first place, but that wasn't the way with Olin. He was such a blessing. Just feeling, you know, sometimes you get feeling like nobody cares, nobody listens, but every time I'd talk something over with Olin, he'd just hear it and do it. And it's just a real blessing. And just an encouragement to me so many times. Like I said, it just, you know, he had his struggles, and we would just go into pick up something for him or go go to the metal shop and have to reorder something or get something changed and or go back and get something he had forgotten. You know, I just used to just, you know, the term I've used about dear boy, that's, it started right between Olin and Brian and Brian. And just lately, I don't know how many times lately, I'd go into the shop or the different places and and they had been a mistake made. And Olin, like Bill said, you know, just take it with stride, just order, well, we need to get another part. And anyway, I'd just go in and I'd tell the people there, I said, well, you know, Olin just got married, even though it's been almost 3 years now, you know. But I just kept, every time, we'd just blame it on that. He's all twitter-pated and he just got married. And everybody would laugh, but that's just who Olin was. I mean, he made as many mistakes and messed up as much as anybody. But walking with the Lord, it's not about making the mistakes. It's about, he didn't wallow in, well, I messed up, or should have done this, or should have done that. He just dusted himself off and walked again. Got up. Never let it faze him. I mean, there's times when he was in the younger life that he'd call and confess that he'd done something, and I just said, oh, just keep on walking. And it's just been a blessing. Just like I said, I just feel almost crippled today. But there's a place, you know, that Olin left. But, you know, and nobody can replace him. But the Lord gives opportunities for you younger people just to step up in his place. You had an example of someone who wanted to be like Jesus. So I just encourage you just to take this time, and we've all got our tears, but this is part of God's plan. And we can say amen. And we thank God the Lord took it, because that's the Lord's plan. And we can just praise the Lord for that. Anyway, well, God bless you. We'll have a busy next few days. Lord willing, the visitation is going to be on Tuesday. Start at 2 and go to 4, and then at 5 to 6, we're going to have a time for the church and family, just have a meal together. And then again at 6, just we'll begin the visitation, and 8 again. I mean, there'll be a lot of people here, and that's why I wanted to have this time together, so just to draw close together as a body. I think we've been able to do that. Just like I said, praise God that his will is done. And I know that's one of the ways we get over stuff like this, is just thank God, because he's in control and we're not. So anyway, so like I said, we'll have then the funeral, Lord willing, to be 10 o'clock Wednesday. And like I said, we'll ask for a lot of help with the host. And so we won't get a lot of time together, you know, but we can work together during all this. And it's been a blessing. A lot of people have offered to help. So we'll need some help. And so just God bless y'all. We'll meet together again tonight, 6 o'clock right here. And just we'll just have our, this is our day together to celebrate the life of your brother. God bless you all. Depart in peace. God be with you till we meet again.